So I want you to think for a moment, when was a time you experienced great hospitality? I mean, just over-the-top hospitality, and maybe think for a second, what other gifts came along with that great hospitality? I think about different people in my life, and when they've shown gifts of hospitality, what it's brought with me is a whole other host of blessings. So about a year and a half, 2 years ago, it was a Sunday afternoon, and somebody rang our doorbell. And so in our house, when somebody rings the doorbell, our dog is the first one to the door, followed by my son, then followed by my daughter, all of them making lots of noise, right? So that's on this side of the door, and we open the door to find five elementary school kids on the other side of the door talking all at once as well. So then we've got this, like, chaos going on at my door. And they hand us a piece of paper, and somehow in the midst, I wave at the two parents that are behind them, and then we shut the door, and it's like, whoa, what just happened? After the chaos settled down, I read the flyer, and it said, you were invited to dinner at our house on Wednesday night. It's like, wow. And so I'm thinking, I was like, five elementary school kids. So I'm thinking these people are crazy. Or they are possibly like religious fanatics that are going to try to convert me to something. I don't know. Or they're just extremely hospitable. And it turns out they were extremely hospitable. And nearly every Wednesday, our neighborhood gathers at their house. And from that one blessing, it's given us the opportunity to get to know a lot of other neighbors. And so it's brought unity and other neighborly relationships out of that one blessing. Wow, their hospitality has really changed the course of my little family's trajectory. I wonder, where have you experienced great hospitality? Today we're going to be exploring the gift of hospitality. And as we talk about spiritual gifts, what we're saying is God has given each of us different spiritual gifts. Some have the gift of administration or faith, and some of you have the gift of hospitality. That's just kind of who you are. And for others of us, maybe hospitality is not our big strength, but during Advent, we might take some steps forward to living into hospitality. Because what we know is that if we unwrap the gifts of Christmas, the spiritual gifts that Christ has given us in hospitality, then that paves the way for opening the gift of Christ. So hear this definition. If you're following along in your YouVersion Bible app, you could take your own notes, refer back to the scriptures later in the week. But there's this definition. It says, the gift of hospitality is the God-given ability to care for people by providing friendly reception, food, and lodging. Hospitality. I know you've experienced hospitality, right? We've all had the opportunity to do that. And when we do that, we can experience something great along with it. So, and as I think about hospitality, wherever we are in the hospitality scale, when we recognize Christ in others, kind of our hospitality kind of gets kicked into a higher gear, right? So we increase hospitality when we see Christ in others. And that's really the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah. So Zechariah is a priest, and he's in the temple, and they're an older couple. They've tried for years and years and years to get pregnant, and Elizabeth is barren. And so Zechariah is in the temple, and he's visited by an angel, and he's told that Elizabeth is going to be with child. And you're going to name him John, and we know him as John the Baptist, who prepares the way for Christ. And so in this interaction, Zechariah goes, Elizabeth? She's really old. How is this going to happen? And the angel's like, you are silent now until your son is born. Right? Like, and we don't know. The scriptures are silent on this. We don't know if this was an answer to Elizabeth's prayers or not. But Zechariah is silenced. Right? And so they're entering into this pregnancy, this kind of unknown time for them. And you can imagine Elizabeth, this both excitement, I mean, this blessing that she never thought would happen, and yet maybe some fear, anxiety, and oh my gosh, all this wrapped up. I think about the times when Aaron was pregnant, and I realized our world just kind of shrunk a little bit. Maybe not on purpose, but as we were preparing to bring our children into the world, I wasn't really thinking about a whole lot of outside things. I was focusing on the nesting process. And we started focusing on these little babies that were growing. And that's what happens, right? When we're about to bring a new person into our house, we start nesting. And so Elizabeth is in her nesting stage, if you will. That's not the time when we would have been hospitable, that's for sure, right? We were trying to get ready for a baby. We're not thinking about outside people. But here's Mary that shows up on Elizabeth's door. And all of a sudden, Elizabeth goes, whoa. Welcome. Welcome. Come on in. And John, inside her womb, kind of kicks her, nudges her. And that's the sign that the Christ is with Mary. Right? Sometimes we need that kick in the gut to recognize that Christ is in the other person we're interacting with. And so Mary is able to enter Elizabeth's house. And you can just imagine the many blessings that came from that. Mary stays with Elizabeth for a couple months, for three, and this woman who's on the other end of life spectrum, and then this young girl, and they're experiencing pregnancy together. I imagine their conversations and the hospitality that was shown. So I think for each of us, though, as we think about hospitality, we might think about finding the Christ in the other. There's a scripture in Hebrews 13, 1 through 2. It says, keep loving each other like family. Don't neglect to open up your homes to guests, because by doing this, some have been hosts to angels without knowing it. So for Elizabeth, she was hosting Mary, who was carrying the Christ. But the author of Hebrews says, when you open up your home to other people, you might be entertaining angels. Right? The person that knocks on your door, they might be a blessing from God. Bishop Robert Schnazy describes hospitality like this. He says, hospitality has us seeing people as Jesus sees them and seeing Jesus in the people God brings before us. It has us seeing people as Jesus sees them. So often we look at other people and we judge, or we have preconceived notions. We think this or that about them. But if we're hospitable, then we see people as Jesus sees them. And then seeing Jesus in the people God brings before us. Maybe we need that kick in the gut to go, oh yeah, Christ is in them. Sometimes that kick in the gut is reading scripture. Sometimes the kick in the gut might be prayer. But it's being open to God saying, look, right in front of you is Christ. Be hospitable. So I wonder for us if we might unwrap that gift of hospitality. And we might think of unwrapping that in maybe three different ways. And I think for each of us, we might be more naturally inclined to unwrap these gifts and over here or there. But as we think about hospitality, I think we might think of hospitality as citizens and as a church and then as individuals. And the first one is possibly the toughest, unwrapping hospitality as citizens. Right, anytime we watch the news, we see the immigration debate or refugees, and it really gets divided. And so this morning, I want us to look not at one party doing the right thing and one party doing the wrong thing, but for us to kind of say, what does God say in the scriptures? How do we look at the scriptures and then figure out 2,000 years later what that means for us today to be hospitable? When we look back at the Old Testament, what we see is this invitation to accept that alien, the outcast, the foreigner. And so we see that in the scriptures, and many times in the Old Testament, there's this reminder to show hospitality to those who are foreigners. And oftentimes God says, remember that you were once foreigners in Egypt. Remember, the Israelites were in Israel, and then they went to Egypt. So there was a period of time when the people were in a strange and foreign land. And then eventually they returned to Israel. And you know what, when they return to Israel, they quickly forget that their parents, their grandparents, their great-grandparents were once strangers in a foreign land. And so the scriptures remind them, and they remind us, over and over again to show hospitality. Deuteronomy 10, 18 through 19 is just one of the many examples that talks about this. It says, God enacts justice for orphans and widows. God loves immigrants, giving them food and clothing. That means you must also love immigrants because you were immigrants in Egypt. We see this in this call for hospitality, and I don't pretend that there are easy answers to hospitality, right? When it comes to us as citizens, there's people with PhDs that love Jesus that don't agree on this, right? So, but how do we read these scriptures? And then we kind of go into the New Testament, and when we get to Matthew chapter 2, we see Jesus and his whole family fleeing to another land. We see this in Matthew 2, 13 through 15, right? So Jesus is born, and then as they're celebrating the birth, like we're about to be doing now, we come upon these scriptures. When the Magi had departed, an angel from the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod will soon search for the child in order to kill him." Joseph got up, and during the night took the child and his mother to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod died. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I have called my son out of Egypt." So Jesus and his family, to escape persecution, fled to a foreign country. That's the definition of a refugee. This Christ child that we celebrate began his little life on the run. And so as we think about this and wrestle with this, we might wonder, how did people in Egypt welcome the Christ? Were there people that showed hospitality to this man and this woman and their young baby? Did they find a place to sleep? Did they have to sleep on the streets? What did they eat? We don't know. The scriptures are silent on this. But it makes us wonder, when Jesus talks in Matthew chapter 25, and says, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me in." I wonder if as Jesus was saying those words, if he was recalling some of the conversations he had with his mother about the times when he was an infant, when he was first born. It's something we've got to wrestle with, and we do that in the church. And we're not here to point fingers, right? It's not pointing fingers at one person or one party and saying they're doing it wrong. But instead, we might take our finger, make them fingers and hands, and then feet, and be the hands and feet of Christ, to make sure that whatever our sphere of influence is, we are making sure that we are reaching out to offer love and support and comfort to those who might feel like a stranger in a foreign land. Whenever we help with Christian Community Action or Salvation Army, we're trying to make sure that everybody has what they need, right? There's Refugee Services of Texas, and there's a link to their website in the Bible app this morning, and you can volunteer with them. And you welcome refugee families, and they arrive to the U.S., and they often don't know how to use a microwave. They often don't know what a refrigerator is. And so you can help guide them through the process of becoming a citizen here or finding safe harbor here. And so if that's something you're passionate about, the link is in your website. But some of us might be called to that, but we've all at least might have a kind of inkling of how do we show hospitality to those we often don't interact with, but those who might be considered foreigners or aliens among us. That one's a harder one to figure out. And then as we kind of wrestle with that, we might think, how do we as a church show hospitality? That would be the next part for us, to go a little deeper in hospitality and say, what does that mean for Vista Ridge United Methodist? And I have been blown away over and over again by this church's hospitality. In the 6 months that I've been here, what I've noticed is that you do a great job of welcoming guests, right? You don't like just pounce on them and then scare them to death, because sometimes that happens. But that's not the case, but you also don't ignore them. And I've seen this like beautiful kind of welcoming that happens. And really the scriptures over and over again remind us to show hospitality, especially within our churches. We see that Paul writing to the Romans and many of the letters to the early churches, whoever was writing was saying, don't forget to show hospitality. But one of the places is in Romans 15:7. It says, "So welcome each other in the same way that Christ also welcomed you for God's glory." Man, this invitation to be welcoming. Did you know that somebody in their first 10 minutes of being on a church campus decides whether or not they will return to that church? In the first 10 minutes. Guys, that's great because that takes a whole lot of pressure off me as the pastor because I'm always speaking past 10 minutes. But that also means that each and every one of us is on the hospitality team, right? Like we have a responsibility to make sure from the parking lot until folks are in here and even when they're in here that we're showing hospitality. And the gift that we get with hospitality is not just giving somebody a church, but it's our mission, right, of life-giving relationships with God, with each other, and with our community. What a beautiful gift to be able to give somebody who's searching for a church home. Right, tonight we've got the opportunity at the live nativity to show hospitality. And my guess is that as you wait for the performance to start, or as you're in line for children's activities, you might look on your left and you're going to see a family that you really love. Like somebody you've got a good life-giving relationship with. And you're going to look on the other side, there's going to be somebody you've never met before. And you've got the option. Are you going to talk to your friend, somebody, and you're going to have a great conversation with them, or are you going to take a step of faith and show some hospitality and just go, hey, I don't know if I've met you, I'm so-and-so. And how old are your kids? Oh, yeah, I remember when my kids were that age. I'm really glad they're not potty training anymore. That's tough. Right? And you might engage them in conversation and then just say, you know, I don't know if you have a church home, but if you don't, I would certainly love to recommend our church. We've got a great church where I've grown in my faith. My family has connected with God, with other people. And it's this church that continually helps us reach out into the community. If you don't have a church home, I'd certainly invite you next Sunday or to our Christmas Eve services. Right? It's easy. Just simple little steps. It's not rocket science, but it's us intentionally being hospitable, following in Elizabeth's footsteps to help somebody discover the gift of life-giving relationships. So we might practice that tonight, or especially during each of the weeks of Advent. And finally, I want to just say we might choose to show hospitality on a personal level. Try to find those ways in our own little spheres of influence where we show hospitality. I don't know if y'all are like me, but I am ordering something off Amazon like every other day right now. And this video popped up on my feed, and it really spoke to me. And so I want you to take a look at it. And it's just one woman reaching out to show hospitality to people that enter her property all the time.
Oh, this is sweet. Oh, wow.
An Amazon delivery driver and a neighbor's act of kindness are going viral. Middletown's Kathy Yuma wanted to thank her delivery drivers this holiday season for their hard work. She laid out snacks on her front porch, and this delivery driver, Kareem Earl Reed III, his reaction is just priceless. You can see him do a little celebratory dance on his way back to the van. This was all captured on Yuma's Ring doorbell camera, she says. In her post on Facebook, she does this every year, but this reaction really made her day. The video has already been viewed more than 9 million times since it was posted December 2nd. Katie Johnston, CBS Philly.
So we thought that was fun this week and just a great, easy way to show hospitality. And so we've put together the sign for you. And so when you leave today, you'll have the opportunity on the sign. It says, UPS, USPS, Amazon, and FedEx drivers, please take some goodies to enjoy on your route. Thank you for making holiday shopping easy. And so all you have to do is go in your fridge, get a couple of non-alcoholic beverages, right? Like reach past those, grab the Cokes, or, you know, we don't need drinking and driving. But they'd really like you if you did the other, but don't do that. But yeah, so you just kind of put this together, right, with some different snacks that you might have and put that out and be hospitable. And under it, it says, if you're looking for a church on Christmas Eve, feel free to check out Vista Ridge United Methodist Church. We have a children's service at 5 p.m. and a community worship service at 7 p.m. We'd love to have you there. And we put some little flyers there too, because Gatorade and water is great to give somebody, but I wonder if somebody's spiritually thirsty and just this simple invitation, this act of hospitality might be life-changing for somebody. So I invite you to do that. And on the backside, if you're like, Clay, I don't do Amazon, and I'm already done with all my shopping, nobody's done with their shopping, are you? Like, But the other side just says, dear friends, please enjoy some goodies this holiday season. So in your office, at work, at the retirement center, wherever you go and hang out and spend time, you can take this and you just turn the sign around. And it's a great way to be hospitable. So, wow, some really big issues that seem like they're hard to solve, like immigration and hospitality. Wow, it's tough. And then it kind of trickles down to our church and then kind of just our own spheres of influence. But ultimately, my hope is that for each of us, our gift of hospitality prepares people to receive the gift of Christ. Because that's ultimately what it's about. Every time we show hospitality, we have the opportunity to show somebody love, support, encouragement, and help them find Emmanuel, God with us. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we pray that we might be people who are hospitable. We confess that for a number of reasons, we so often aren't. We kind of get focused on ourselves or focused on what else is going on around us, and we forget that in each person is Jesus. And by welcoming them in, we have the opportunity to welcome you in. God, we want to experience you. We want to love you. So let us follow in your footsteps and show hospitality. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the ushers come forward to receive this morning's tithes and offerings, your gifts, the generous ways that you give, allow this church to continually be hospitable. Through our children's ministry, youth ministry, and the nativity, each and every time that we gather, we have the opportunity to show hospitality. So thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Would you please join with me in our prayer for the offering? You'll find the words on the screen. Holy Lord, may the gifts that we give to you today help this church practice hospitality. May our generosity here and every day show your love, hospitality, and love.